Hello, this is Leslie Scarra. I'm founder and CEO of Merlin Development, and this is my sixth podcast for prepared foods focusing on technology issues. It is entitled Creating More Healthful Foods, Part 3, Using Drivers of Liking in the Development Process. In my last two podcasts, we explored the basics of physiological and psychological drivers of liking. Today, I'd like to explore three of the many ways that we can use this information to increase our success in formulating and selling healthy foods. First, if we want to formulate more healthful, great-tasting foods, we need to alter the order of our development tasks. Normally, we start with a concept, determine nutrition limits, formulate to maximize liking, and finally, we fine-tune flavors. This process means that we will limit salt, sugar, fat, and caloric density only when they're part of the concept. We use culinary tools late in the process. But since we are physiologically driven to prefer higher salt, sugar, caloric density, etc., it's not surprising that foods formulated by this order of development tasks tend to be high in these constituents. To change this result, we need to change the order of our development tasks for all projects, not just those that are nutritionally limited. I would propose that a company set a self-imposed limit for salt, sugars, caloric density prior to development. This proactive program would define ingredient levels as if the FDA had set maximum use levels. These are not therapeutic levels, but rather low levels consistent with conservative estimates of requirements of good health for normal populations. Let me give you an example. Let's say our company makes bread. The starting salt level would be the minimum amount necessary to achieve mandatory technical contributions of salt to bread making, not the amount used currently or that which would be necessary for best taste. If you use this lower salt level without other salt-enhancing approaches, you might not have optimum flavor or texture. But if you immediately set the salt level to achieve optimum flavor and texture, you have no hope of finding lower levels. Your development process then optimizes based on the product resulting from these corporately chosen levels using all available technologies, including culinary approaches. As a last step, a minimum amount of salt may be added if necessary. The final salt level would be at or below the limit imposed by management. If I formulate a product starting with a culinary approach like that used in Cooking Light magazine, and add the smallest amounts of salt, sugar, oil, etc. at the end of my process, I end up with spectacular products, but at significantly lower levels of the ingredients of concern. Also, since sugar and salt interact for taste, the addition of one early in the development process can drive up the need for the other. There are many other instances where the order of development decisions can drive the level of ingredient chosen to meet a project objective. Next, considering psychological drivers of liking, let's pair health with fun as part of the concept statement. We know that health influences purchase decisions, but fun influences liking. So let's intentionally bring fun to categories that normally appeal to our good health. If I formulate a snack, the fun elements are usually part of the concept statement, so I formulate to maximize those fun elements, like zingy flavors, crazy colors, etc. If I formulate pizza, I consider the fun party usage of the product when I consider all of the development parameters. Why not use a similar process for healthy foods? We've been conditioned over our lifetimes to associate sweet or salty foods with fun occasions. Birthday cake, potato chips, pizza. I view potato chips as a reward. I'm learning to view rosemary and olive oil Triscuits as a viable alternative. Manufacturers can help us go much farther with fun positionings that pair intensely flavorful products built with healthy, but not therapeutically healthy, formulations. Again, it may be necessary for management to drive pursuit of positioning statements for healthy foods known to utilize psychological drivers of liking. If the task of the marketing group is to find new product concepts to meet growth goals, psychological drivers of liking may continue to be missed. But if management makes the commitment to use every tool at their disposal to facilitate consumption of much healthier versions of their products, then psychological drivers of liking can be important tools. Build them in at the concept stage, even for healthy products, so that your formulators can maximize the product attributes to deliver fun. Finally, corporations can seek to make more aggressive use of captive feeding programs to drive familiarity of healthy foods. Again, the sensory data show that a population of consumers can be acclimated to lower salt, whole grains, etc., by a gradual shift of level over a period of time. Familiarity breeds liking. Gradual changes often go unnoticed. A program like this might require some very different thinking on the part of food service manufacturers. You might provide a range of products to be used in a continuum. You might provide the end product, which is more healthfully formulated, with instructions for food service staff to modify the product gradually over time. These are only two of many approaches that could be used. But what is the potential payoff for a manufacturer? A program like this could be part of a long-term strategy to evolve your consumers to more healthful forms of your food offerings. I've listened to too many consumers almost tearfully explain that they're forced to choose between health and convenience when shopping for manufactured foods. They desperately need the convenience manufacturers offer to make their busy lives work. We can't let the competitive liking game continue to pull our formulations into less healthful ranges. We need to use every tool at our disposal, including a thorough understanding and application of the drivers of liking. This is a broad topic with many implications. I welcome discussion, and I'd be happy to provide connections to people who understand these tools. I can be reached via the information on the Prepared Foods podcast website. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.